Right, this is John Bruton. You're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hornado Diablo.
Through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hornado Diablo.
And this week, we go back to the world of education to see what more we can possibly hate about a system designed to prepare you for the world in which you will hate a lot more things. Joining us this week is comedian, photographer, and educator Liz Blanc.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on,
Liz. Thank you very much.
Liz just won the preliminary round of the World Series of Comedy at the world-famous Pickwick and Frolic at Hilarity's 4th Street Theater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you can catch her on the rise as we speak. In fact, as we are speaking right now, bookers are inundating her phone with messages. So
I don't even know if she's got time to do this.
I'm just hoping for the best.
I'll make time for you guys.
Oh, we appreciate
it. You guys are awesome.
We appreciate it. So, Liz, why do you hate standardized testing?
I think it's being misused.
Okay.
I think it's being used as a tool to privatize education, to ruin public schools, and to kind of give people an excuse to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, what... Basically, because public schools are failing these tests, it's, you look at private schools and they're doing okay on the tests, so it's just an excuse to transfer students out of the public sector?
I would agree. And, you know, it affects funding. The tests tend to be racially, socioeconomically, and culturally biased, so there are issues there.
How are they racially biased? Admittedly, you know, I dropped out of high school, so the standardized, none of the testing affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also I was, I test well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really remember, I was not around for the modern version of standardized testing, and I'm not exactly sure exactly how, you know, it can be biased. So can you explain that a little bit?
I can give you some examples. The testing is computerized and it's very, very, very secure.
Okay.
So I haven't seen the current tests.
Mm-hmm.
But an example would be something like the word silo.
Okay.
A student from the inner city who's maybe never left the inner city might not know what a silo is.
Okay.
Might not be able to use that in context. Might see that in a story or a passage and it might throw them off.
Right. So basically...
I'd like to say for the record, the reason I knew what a silo was because of James Bond. So that's how I knew what it was, because of GoldenEye. There was a level in that game called the silo.
Oh, yeah. A missile silo. I was thinking grain silo.
Well, there's silo's a silo. It's what you put in it is, makes it a specific silo.
There are no inner city silos.
Right. There are not.
So basically, this test is being written in Iowa for people in Cleveland.
Well, I don't know exactly what's on the test, but that was just an example that kind of I was able to come up with quickly.
Yeah. Okay. So you have other examples of that, I'm sure, throughout the English portion of the test, where it's just, these are things that, you know, would seem like common knowledge to somebody out in the sticks, but, you know, where it's, you know, very, very white out in the sticks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But mostly white.
Yeah, there's...
I mean, in Ohio, anyway.
Right.
In Ohio, for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, you get into the inner city where you actually have people from all different, you know, backgrounds.
Walks of life.
Yeah. Walks of life, too.
Right.
I mean, not necessarily walks of life, because you tend to see, you know, people with higher incomes don't send their kids to urban schools, if you will.
Public urban schools.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what could be, honestly, I don't know what can be done to change that. Because it was always a deal breaker when I was living in Akron. It was like, hey, we can't send our kid to school here. It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you look at the differences between Akron and Cleveland schools, it's not, Akron's much safer.
Yeah, I don't know what could be done to remedy that, but I also don't think the urban public schools need to be set up for failure
mm-hmm.
either. I think there are a lot of ways to show and measure student growth, and I don't think that an abundance of standardized testing is necessary.
Now, how many tests do students have to take over the course of their career now? Because when I was coming through, we just had the Stanford Achievement Test, and then we had something in middle school, and then the ninth grade proficiency test. Mm-hmm. What's changed?
When I was a child, you had the Iowa test
in elementary. Yep, I remember that one.
And then I think just ninth grade proficiency as an eighth grader, and then you were done.
Yeah,
as
long it was because I remember you had to take one proficiency test when we were in middle school. Yeah. And then we were the guinea pigs for the Ohio graduation test.
Okay.
Like the year I graduated, 2006, so we took it, I think, 2 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like we were the guinea pigs for it, so it didn't even really matter. And they made the mistake of telling us that that we were the guinea pigs of it. And I remember the last day of the testing is like as soon as you finish, you could get out. And I can't remember what day, because each day was a different subject. I remember that.
Yep.
I can't remember what Friday was, but I didn't give a fuck. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to fill this out as fucking quick as I can without reading any of the questions and walk up and hand it to him. And like, I remember the assistant principal being like, because he knew me, he was like, really? And I was like, yep.
Well, and right there is an example of how data can get skewed if a child doesn't care or if a child's so low performing that they've kind of given up and they're just kind of done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I mean, the only thing I can like liken standardized testing to aside from taking them, like when we were kids, is it sounds like every school just needs a Joe Clark from Lean On Me. They need a Morgan Freeman. Come in there swinging a baseball bat and tell kids what's up. Make them pass it.
I mean, you can't come in swinging a baseball bat anymore,
you
Jordan.
Cannot.
I don't think you could ever really do that in high school.
Well, it's just somebody's going to, you swing a baseball bat, they bring a gun. It's escalation of violence does not solve anything, especially with people that are still trapped in binary thinking, as you are until you get out of adolescence.
I mean, however, you say escalation of violence doesn't solve anything. My counter argument to that would be when bullies get taught a lesson by somebody they're bullying, then it does solve something.
Not always the case anymore.
Not always.
You know.
Well, everybody has to sit down and talk about their feelings now. You can't slap a bully in the face anymore.
I would say what's changed is the Ohio graduation test then came into play.
Mm-hmm.
Five areas of testing, one per day for a week, makeup week the next week. And that was less complex than what we have now.
Really?
Now students are tested in English 1, English 2. So 9th and 10th grade English, they have exit exams, but they're modeled. They're like 3 hours long. They're modeled like the OGT.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Then you've got biology, American history, government.
Man.
What's my other...
Math.
Oh, yeah. And then...
Math and... Well, you already said biology.
I believe it's Algebra 1 and Geometry. I've never taught... I don't teach math.
Those were the easy ones.
And there's a certain amount of... You can get between... I believe it's a 1 and an 8.
Okay.
Or a 1 and a 6. And then, depending on how many points you get out of all those tests, that gets you to graduation. The kid has to have 18 total... And it's like 6 in math, 6 in English, I think 4 in science. So the kid has to keep retaking it till they get like this magic combination of points to graduate.
Wow.
Do they have to retake tests that they've already reached the minimum standard?
So this is where it gets a little complicated, and I can really empathize with the kids on this. Say you take your English 1 and get a 3.
Okay.
you need 6 total for English. But then you take English 2 and you only get a 2. You're 1 point down. So you need to go back and retake something.
Oh, wow. Ugh. No matter what.
Right.
And so, all right. So you think that marginalizes people in like the inner city? You think these tests are do you think designed to?
I don't know if they're specifically designed to do that.
Project failure or?
I think they are designed to promote privatization. And I don't know if they are designed to marginalize people in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
But they're definitely not working. And I know that my students are capable of a lot more. They just need different ways to show it.
Right.
Yeah. So are you trapped teaching to this test then?
I wouldn't say I'm trapped teaching to it. It just steals my instructional time.
Okay. Because they've got to pass this test. Otherwise, they don't graduate. So,
right.
Does it force people into like after school programs, get tutored to pass this test, or
that does happen? Yeah.
But is that something offered by schools, or do you have to actually like put aside your own money to send your kid to do that?
I'm sure it would depend on the school. My school is very good about offering all kinds of programs to support kids.
Okay. Because yeah, I remember, where I went to middle school and high school is like very white,
mm-hmm.
and they had after school programs like that we could just go like that. We're in the cafeteria.
Where there
was tutors and stuff. But I know that there's plenty of schools that do not offer things mm-hmm. like that, and it is schools where they should have that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we hold office hours after school, mandatory office hours. So that's the time that my kids come and get intervention and things like that.
Okay.
That works at least. Has there been a decrease in graduation rates from urban schools as a direct result of these tests? Or, are people eventually passing it?
I can't determine whether it's a direct result. But the frustration's definitely up.
Okay.
Kids do, take these 4 times, 5 times if they go and take them during the summer if they have to.
Yeah.
And poor graduation rates. I don't teach in the inner city. I do teach urban public, but it's not like, Dangerous Minds or anything where I am. I'm very happy where I am. Coolio
I love it. Write the theme song you teach.
I'm actually very happy where I am. But yeah, it was Usher. Fetty Wap. I'm very happy where I am. And but I will say that we're not treating the cause of the issue. Like, the issues that cause students to fail are things like transiency, poverty,
mm-hmm. right,
not attending.
Right. Which, I mean, I'm sure, administrations, the people, who don't care about the kids really are, they will just push it all off on that. Like, they don't care, so if they fail, fuck them anyway. It's just that we had, who was it on the show? The Dark Muppet.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he told us about, like, Cleveland public schools mm-hmm. was atrocious. Like, mm-hmm. I just found myself very angry at the end of that, like, they just don't care. They do not care.
Yeah, I mean, I think administrators are really between a rock and a hard place because all these new laws, come down on them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find a way to provide a good education.
Maybe it's not administrators as much as it is, like, the higher-up politicians that do that shit.
Yeah, well, and I think you have, kind of like you do in healthcare or anything else right now, you've got a lot of people who don't know anything about it writing the laws.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you've got a bunch of non-educators, people who think because they went to school, they know all about school, writing laws about what I should be doing.
Right. I mean, do they, how do I want to say that? Who puts these tests in place? Who is it? Legislation?
Yes.
That makes a lot of
sense.
And
testing companies, which is, millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, because they're getting paid to administer and write these tests.
And you say they do these tests computerized now?
They are computerized.
So it's not like when we were you filling the bubbles and shit?
Is correct.
It? Oh, it's not like that anymore.
Nope. They just log in. It's all secure. Like, not even I can see it.
Wow.
At least not that I know of.
Right.
And they take it just on the computer.
I think I figured out a problem to this. Those of you listening out there that have some sort of hacking acumen.
A hackumen, if you will.
A hackumen.
Yeah. You know what you need to do. Get these kids to pass these tests. By any means necessary.
Well, because, I mean, like, what I remember from those tests and stuff was that I don't use... I mean, algebra, I believe that. I mean, just basic math, though, in your everyday life, basic math is really all you need. And I remember, because I have a brother and sister that are twins. They're 13. Yeah, they're 13. And what's
that? Do you love your brother?
I do love my brother. They teach whatever that fucking math is now.
The Common Core math?
Yeah, dude.
It's rough.
My brother was like, my sister, I think, was asking me like to help her out with math one time. And like, she showed me the problem. I was like, oh yeah, you do it like this. She's like, no, I'm not allowed to do it like that. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? You got the right answer. And it's way easier to do it this way. Especially like for a kid who, like, I struggled with division until I had to go to summer school for it. And I learned fucking division then. But I don't understand who fucking thought that was a good idea.
I don't understand it. I know math teachers who love it and who hate it. And I know kids who love it and hate it.
Really?
I think it depends on how you're wired and how your brain works. My brain cannot do the Common Core math. Not most of it. It's not the way I learned. I learned through rote memorization and patterns and things like that. Maybe that's what this is, but I don't understand it.
Well, like my sister was, because I don't think they, I don't, I forget when they start teaching proportions. And like, I remember the crossway, how to do it. You know, you set up the two things, you don't know what the one is. Very easy.
Yep.
And she was like, whoa, that's way more simple than what they're teaching us. I'm like, yeah, so do it that way. She's like, I won't get a good grade if I do. I'm like, that is the fucking most stupid thing I've ever heard of in my life.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it's weird how it seems like they're trying to standardize educational methods for one method of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And
cheap.
Yes. Bah.
Jeremy Sheep.
Jeremy Sheep, yeah. Look for Jeremy Sheep at a club near you. I'll be selling merch after my shows that I shaved off of me.
And the way he'll figure out how much things cost is he'll do Common Core math.
Yeah.
Buy Jeremy Schmerch. Just buy it. Yeah. One of a kind.
How much does this cost? I don't fucking know.
Give me a dollar.
For two posters, a t-shirt, and a hat.
Yeah, that I've knit from my own...
chest hair.
Yeah, well, that's all there is to shave off. If you're going to shear me. I can make friendship bracelets, and that's about it.
Friend shear bracelets.
Friend shear bracelets. Oh, God. This is... so if you're listening to the hateflow@gmail.com, let's get this done. Friend shear bracelets. I'm for it.
You're going to wake up with somebody shaving you one night. Like, oh, what the fuck? All right, fine.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I looked in the mirror this morning and I noticed that I'm going gray in my beard. You see just this one
little bit.
A little bit, but it looks like I came in my beard. Oh, God. And I just didn't clean it up.
Are you positive that you didn't?
Yes. I'm positive that I didn't.
Do you wear one of those fucking kitchen, like, hair nets for your face when you jerk off?
Yes. I wear a face net when I jerk off to make sure. Because I can't exactly point it in the right direction all the time, Jordan. Sometimes I just have to go...
What's the right direction is what I want to know.
You know, like some... Look, we're getting way off topic here.
I cannot have all my teacher friends listen to this.
You didn't know that coming in.
Skip that part.
Oh, that's funny.
No, it's all good. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, you should make them. They're like, no, it's fine. Blast it for the students.
It's all about
they'll
testing.
Actually fucking learn something. Yeah. And they're going to be like, is this on the test?
Standardize this process.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, we brought up that it seems like the motivation behind changing standardized testing to where it is now is because testing companies tend to profit, charter schools and private schools stand to profit. How much input do teachers actually have in policy?
Unfortunately, none, I would say.
None whatsoever. So the people that, you know, are they even listening to the union anymore? Or
I doubt it, because the union is often villainized as being greedy and, you know, just after money and whatever.
Oh, God. Teachers want to make fucking money.
Right.
God forbid.
So, you know, you've kind of got, a lot of more conservative legislators and even conservative people who kind of, you know, think the teachers' union is garbage, which it's not.
No.
It's needed.
Not. Yeah. Somebody has to look after best interests of their employees, and that's what unions were created for. So is there a divide now between, you know, private and charter school teachers and, you know, public school teachers because, you know, some people are working without the union?
Yeah, I mean, I think that most charter school teachers who I know who either support themselves or don't have a spouse wealthy enough to support the two of them, mm-hmm. they want in public schools. They want in a public school union.
Right.
A lot of charter school teachers I've met, you know, have the advantage of being in a dual income household and they maybe don't need as much money.
Yeah.
And you'll see kind of, I went through grad school at Cleveland State. My master's is in administration, and a lot of charter school teachers in my program were kind of looked down upon by the public school teachers.
Right. But, you know, the horror stories that I hear from my friends that have worked charter schools is that they go in, hired the promise of teaching one subject in one grade level, and then all of a sudden a bunch more work is thrown at them for no more money.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that too, and I think, you know, without those union protections, it's at will. They can tell you whatever they want you to do.
Yeah, which thanks Ohio for that. At will employment has pretty much murdered unions' negotiating power. But, you know, is the future of education eliminating the teachers' union then so that, you know, there's some input from teachers? Because it seems like, you know, at this point, the head of the Department of Education is a charter school magnate. And how do you get her ear when she's going to villainize the union at every chance she gets?
Well, and I don't think you can. I mean, I think the best we can do is have her tour schools and show her that we're effective and show her we're good at our jobs.
That lady seems like a fucking brick wall.
But at the same time, I mean, she's ultra conservative. She has no background in education aside from destroying Detroit public schools. Mm. And she's even said things about turning the school district into God's kingdom. Like, she wants to use schools to grow God's kingdom. Like, that's not appropriate.
No. No, it's not. Again, going back,
I just was filled with fucking so much anger.
I could go on and on about keeping religion out of schools. It's highly upsetting to me that we have someone with such bias, at the helm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I did a couple of years at a private school, and part of the education process there is you go to chapel every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to keep it non-denominational, but it's still like religion is a part of your life, and this is part of what your parents are paying for, and people that come out of that system don't see the harm in it.
I wouldn't generalize and say everybody, because I mean, I know people who went to, you know, St. Ed's and stuff that, I mean, are far beyond, like, they can't stand that shit.
Right. But at the time, like, why put people through that?
No, I agree completely. Like, I think it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I feel like if parents are going to pay money for some for their kid to go to a private school, but they're not religion, but they're not religious, but they want that education, mm-hmm. not specifically the religion part of it, just the, you know, the quote unquote better education that people say private schools are.
Right.
Then that should be an option if they go or not. It's like the chapel or whatever the fuck you called it.
Right.
That should be an option, not mandatory.
Yeah, but I don't think that the inclusion of a religious education in private schools is what makes them quote-unquote better.
No, neither do I.
Mm-hmm. The ability to select their own students is what makes it better.
Yeah, because you test your way in.
Right.
Because even like around here, like the private school I mentioned earlier was Hawken. And Hawken was the only co-ed private school, like non-religious private school in the Cleveland area. Because it was like you have four major private schools in the Cleveland area. You have Hawken, University School, which is all boys, Laurel, which is all girls, and Hathaway Brown, which is all girls.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents originally wanted to send me to University Schools. But then, you know, the prospect of a fat little boy at an all boys school was not exactly what they wanted. So we looked at Hawken. And I watched who they were testing, and it was overwhelmingly white.
Shocker.
And the African-American kids that did test to get in were like, you know, they were like, this is a favor we're doing for this kid. Like, this is all going to be scholarship money, and we're going to look so great. And it seems disingenuous.
Do those schools have to take those tests?
Yes. As far as I know, yes.
Yeah.
Any school in the state has to take those. Okay. Or every school in the state has to take those, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I know Cleveland came up with some sort of plan where they use a different test. But as far as I know, it's almost the same. It's just part of their Cleveland plan to improve their schools. And it's a law. It's, you know, set in stone as of right now. I don't think the public or the private schools are exempt in any way.
Okay. I was just curious because, yeah. I mean, I wonder what they think about it. Like, what those schools.
I don't think they're having the same problems as public school students right. are having.
Yeah, I don't think they care because... regardless, those students are going to be high achieving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and plus they're not dependent on public funding.
Right.
Charter schools are, but, you know, because they're getting the money from vouchers and stuff like that. But, you know, the private schools, that's all coming from tuition. So what do they care if the state doesn't want to fund them anymore?
Right. And the money can follow the kid to the charter school. So like a special education student who has thousands and thousands of dollars mm-hmm. used for their services, that can follow them to the charter school, but the charter school doesn't have to provide the same continuum of services to the child.
Isn't that kind of what the Dark Muppet was talking about when we had him on? Is that the reason that there's so many special ed kids in those schools is because they just want the money.
Correct.
That's so fucked. And they don't use the money appropriately.
Many of them don't. They don't even have to write the kids' IEPs and do their speech language and stuff. My school, we write a lot of non-public IEPs for the charter schools around us who aren't writing them.
That's ridiculous. Are you getting compensated for that, or is it...
I haven't had to do any.
Mm.
I don't know about my colleagues. I think it just becomes part of their IEP caseload.
Okay.
And our psychologists and our speech pathologists are required to do evals for non-public schools as well.
That's ridiculous.
So we use our... They're stealing our money, and we're using our resources and money to do their work for them.
That is fucking batshit crazy. I don't understand how that's legal.
But it is.
Why are you a teacher?
I'm in it now. I got too much student loan debt now.
Don't be a martyr. Don't be a fucking martyr.
Get me on SNL, I'll quit.
Me too. I don't know what I'll quit, but something.
Quit sales. Start writing sketches. Yeah, speaking of sketches, the Sad Boys Social Club, May 20th, free Stone Tavern Michelle's, and May 23rd, $5 at the Funny Stop. So, if you like the sketch comedy, that's where it'll be.
And it's good.
Yes.
Check it out.
Sad Boys is awesome.
Yeah, it's been a
group
blast.
Of sad, funny fucks.
We're all very sad, but we're all very funny. So it works out.
Humble. Humble.
No, definitely not humble. None of us are humble.
Fuck being humble.
You guys selling your shirts still?
We are.
Your shirts are amazing.
Thank you.
Wish I could talk today. Your shirts are amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, those we have an Etsy up, and they're available at all our shows. We're out of extra large. We still have 2X, but the XLs went quick. And I'm out of the mediums on unsuitable language now. And
what's the Etsy shop?
The Etsy shop, if you search Sad Boys on Etsy, they're up. They're $17 on the Etsy site. Better to buy them at shows only because, you know...
Cash in hand.
They're $15 at the show and they're $17 on Etsy just to, you know...
So for $20, you could go out to the Funny Stop and have a good time. And, well, and if you're like me... Well, I wouldn't drink on a Tuesday, but... Any other weekend day, I absolutely would.
Excuse me? You wouldn't drink on a Tuesday, mister?
You know what I mean. I mean get drunk.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking. This is the second podcast in a row I haven't drank on.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, buddy.
That's just because it's because I haven't eaten today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'd be fucking trashed halfway through the show, which would be bad.
No, that would be bad. Well, getting back to the subject at hand. Is there a way to fix standardized testing so that the inherent bias in the testing isn't there anymore?
I think that the test would have to be rewritten. And I also think there are better options, online portfolios where children can display their work.
Okay.
Save a ton of money. Could be evaluated by the state or evaluated by the teacher and sent in to be checked or something.
But that right there cuts out all the money from the testing.
Exactly.
So that's never going to happen.
Right.
Which is a shame.
However, rewriting the test to eliminate bias seems like it would make everybody more money.
I think it absolutely would. You'd have to have money for people to fix the test, to write the questions, to retrain everybody on how to proctor it. Oh, absolutely.
So I don't see a downside to that, except for the people that seem to want public school kids to fail.
Right.
Which, what's the motivation there?
Because then it moves more money into out of public schools and into charter and private schools, which is, you know, it's much easier to control everything going on when you own it. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Bessie DeVos has her money in charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in charge.
A couple years ago, I read an article about ECOT,
mm-hmm.
the Online Educational Classroom of Tomorrow. And the CEO of ECOT is worth about $250 million. The teachers are paid horribly. They don't have to provide the special education services. They don't have to perform well on tests. It's all on the computer, so there's no overhead. And then he just kicks money back to the politicians who are supporting policies that help him.
That's religion money, dude.
Yeah.
That's fucking religion money.
To be fair, I know a couple of kids that are in ECOT with special needs. And specifically autism.
Okay.
And, they perform better in ECOT than they would in a normal classroom just because of their, you know, their problems existing mm-hmm. in that environment. But
they're not problems, they're needs. I'm just being a pompous fucking cocksucker.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I don't think I agree with you. I do agree with you on that. I think there are places for online schools. Students with health problems, you know, if a student has heart surgery or something like that. Yeah. Like you mentioned, autism, you know, definitely reducing external stimuli would help.
Yep.
Girls who are having high-risk pregnancies, things like that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's a place for it, but I think trying to move every kid out of the classroom where there's all this overhead and, like, at home where, you know, if they're lucky, you know, somebody will take notice of the fact that, hey, you haven't done your ECOT in, like, 3 days.
Right. Three months, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the one kid I know that does it. He's very intelligent. Like, we would hang out, like, when he was doing it last year, and he'd be like, oh, wait. He's like, I'll be over in 10 minutes. He's like, I got to log into ECOT. And I was like, and? He's like, I just got to leave it open for a few hours so it says I was on. He goes, like, I finished all my work a few days ago. I was like, doesn't that defeat the whole purpose? Right. Whatever. Not my problem.
And soft skills. I mean, I'm afraid we're going to have a whole huge group of millennials who are just lacking soft skills. You know, not able to work in groups, not able to communicate properly. Oh, that, things no,
that's
like that.
That's definitely happening, without a doubt.
Yeah, because that is part of the in-building, you know, school experience is learning how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I get them. In stand-up comedy. It's like, oh, well, you don't know how to people and you want to exist in entertainment. Well, you're about to have some fun, kid.
Some of them are successful, though. I feel like the people who don't know how to people are some of the best comics.
That may be the case. But are they the best people? No, because they don't know how to people.
You're right.
And that makes them very difficult to work with. So you either have to be so good that it counteracts the fact that you don't know how to people, or you have to be so motivated to do everything yourself and just get things done that offsets your inability to people. So, but, you know, I think in order to be like a happy functioning member of the community, you have to know how to people.
Oh, absolutely. Hold down a job, things like that. Getting a schedule. Understanding how to do a schedule.
I mean, just understanding how the world works. Like, nothing is going to get thrown at you just because. Like,
right.
That's not how it fucking works. Yeah. And it just seems to me that there's patterns forming. I mean, even like from, you know, like, you know, I'm going to be 30. And it's like, people my age, I mean, I didn't really get my quote unquote shit together until a little over a year ago. I mean, but I always knew how to, like, talk to people and shit. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I mean, just, like, actually trying to be a functioning member of society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a way bigger problem down the road.
Yeah, well, we're moving, you know, that can't be tested for. Soft skills. I mean, could there be a standardized test for soft skills?
No, it would have to be strictly observation and anecdotal.
Yeah, which that's, you know, if you can't quantify it, then how is anybody going to be able to throw money at it?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, that's really problematic because it seems like if you're not in the education field, which the vast majority of policymakers aren't, and you can't quantify the problems that are going on, how is it supposed to be fixed?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess how do you quantify it then so that people can understand, hey, this is a problem and we need to fix it?
Well, I can tell you how you start is you listen to a person with their master's, a person with a fucking high school diploma, and a dropout talk about it.
There you go.
That's where you start.
Yeah, this is a good starting point.
Well, I mean, yeah, we need to see things. We need to be able to see where a student's levels are, what they're capable of, where they need to improve. But somebody with a 4-year English degree can hear a kid read out loud for 2 minutes and tell if they're below grade level.
Hmm.
I don't need a standardized test to tell me that a kid can't read well and needs intervention.
All you gotta do is watch Billy Madison.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't be a teacher, dude. Like, because I would obviously be nice to those kids, but if a kid's like, all right, come on, dude. Like, let's move it the fuck along. I'm not calling on that kid. That's what the teachers who called on people that were bad at it. It's like, you're a fucking asshole, dude. Like, let's move this along. I don't want to read fucking Homer with this moron. I'm sorry. Let me read it by myself where I can take it in a little bit. Wow. Sorry.
Somebody was a gifted boy, huh?
I have a high school diploma, dude.
Yeah, and I'm a dropout.
We're smarter than most fucking people in our own opinions. Like we said, being humble.
I think you are. Yeah, well, you're smarter than the people running education right now. You're smarter than DeVos, who wants to keep bears out of schools.
Ooh, look, I think she's missing a very important educational opportunity there. A bear comes into your school. What better test of soft skills than dealing with a bear?
That's true.
Are we talking about...
I agree.
Like a bear in like our terms or like an actual grizzly bear?
A grizzly.
I mean, that's... You're going to learn... It's to fight or flight. I mean, you're going to learn real quick.
Fun story. A bear on our terms, as you put it, like we're bears. Like, yeah. That situation happened at Safety Town.
Wait, what?
Safety Town was...
I went to Safety... Like, are you talking about like the five-day thing when you're a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to that.
So the big test of the skills that you learn is we're all riding around on our little tricycles at Sussex Elementary School. And this big old bear comes up and offers us candy.
Why did the bear have to be an almost pedophile? That's not cool.
Well, there was nothing about the situation, looking back at it, that suggested that he was interested.
They typecasted, though, for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. But, you know, I was paying attention more to the situation than the other people were. And the test was... just to say no to the candy, like, we don't know you, you're a stranger. Not, you know, we're going to teach you to hate large homosexuals. That wasn't the test. And, you know...
Was it a subtext, though?
I mean, you could read the situation that way, but, you know, in truth, that was just the guy that... co-ran the Safety Town program. That was who he was able to get that look strangery enough to
come. I just picture like a really fat Rob Halford.
Oh my god, that would have been amazing.
I'm picturing like a hairy Cam from Modern Family.
Yes, that was more what it was like. And you know, I was paying attention to the conversation after, you know, the situation was de-escalated because the kids were saying no like they were supposed to.
You said yes, didn't
you? And he was trying to overcome I did not say yes. Like, I didn't know him. I was like, I was a Stranger Danger kid from before I went to Safety Town. So,
I wish you had that tattooed on you somewhere.
Stranger Danger? Yes.
I will fucking pay for you to get that tattooed on you.
All right. I know exactly where it's going to go. You know how everybody gets those cholo tattoos now with on their belly?
Yes.
I'll get Stranger Danger. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. Let's get that done.
Your thug life.
Yeah, yes. That'll be my thug life. Stranger Danger.
Yeah. I love it.
That's perfect. Let's go get that done.
Yeah.
So at any rate, the head of the camp goes, he eventually gave us the candy anyway, because he was like, no, this guy's okay.
That's a really weird way to reinforce it.
No, it's like, we know this guy. This was just a thing. And just to see if you guys were paying attention. And he goes up to the guy and was like, you should have been nicer. And the guy's like, I was trying to be nice. Like, I don't understand what you wanted out of me. And,
You were paying attention to all that.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, because I was like, no, what's really going on here? Because, like, you know, nobody just walks up to a bunch of kids playing on the playground and tries to give them candy. That does not happen in Shaker Heights. But at least I would hope not.
Oh. What were you going to say?
Oh, I feel like the guy should have gone away and you should have never known.
Yeah.
That would have been the best thing.
I mean, that would have really reinforced the point that, that you just dodged a bullet here.
Right.
But, you know, this was just a test of, you know, were we paying attention to the whole, like, say no to strangers and don't go off with them. And
well, I mean, and really, if you think about that, how far did that get you in life? The first time somebody offered you fucking cocaine that you didn't know, did you do it?
No.
That's weird, I did.
No, I, let's see.
Many moon ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out when the first time I did cocaine was. And, no, actually, yeah, I did not know him, and I just did it because I was... It was probably a bad idea.
I mean, that's the adult version of strangers with candy.
Yeah. Especially with that particular drug. Yes. That, like, that was a bad idea. But, you know, perks of the job, as I often say. You know, funny enough, people give you drugs. It's what it is. All right. So, but that was a... You know, I brought that particular situation up because that seems like it was a test of your soft skills.
Absolutely.
So, you know, how do you, and, you know, everybody passed.
Mm-hmm.
You could write on a little paper, like, these kids said no to free Smarties out of a bag from a large gay man. Like, they passed the test. So how do you, and that seems to be quantifiable. That's something you can show to somebody who's like, look, the program is working. They're denying, you know, they're aware that taking candy from strangers is wrong. And, you know, that's not book learning. That's something that we've drilled into them over time. So how do we do that with other skills that you pick up in school?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, go ahead.
I think you can assess a lot of soft skills through, like, attendance records. You know, is the kid showing up on time? Are they showing up regularly? Are they getting kicked out when they're present? How many times have they been written up this year? Are there behavior issues going on? And that also gives an opportunity for, like, a school social worker or a counselor to step in and help that student hone their soft skills.
And do their job.
Absolutely. And, I think, like, exit surveys, mock interviews, things like that are really helpful, too.
Yeah, that's I think that. But I think the biggest problem, though, is, I mean, unless you condition them their entire school career to for those types of things, a lot of them are going to just blow it off.
Oh, yeah. It would take a long time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely.
I'm not saying that that makes it a bad idea. It's just, like... How far are you going to get with it? You know, what immediate results are you going
to
get? You
know? Right. Yeah, it would take years to create trend data. You're absolutely right.
Well, I mean, you know, it didn't seem like standardized testing was a good idea either, but somehow they implemented that. So, you know, I don't think anything is outside the realm of possibility anymore. It's just the question is... I think it's more of a matter at this point of the bottom line can't be lining people's pockets with education dollars anymore.
Right.
And, you know, with as many conflicts of interest that exist now, with, you know, these folks that are, you know, basically... It's been well established through the media that, you know, the biggest charter schools companies are ripping people off and solely, you know, motivated by profit, which legally they have to be solely motivated by profit if they have shareholders because right. They have a fiduciary mm-hmm. responsibility to their investors to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know... A public school does not have that same fiduciary responsibility. Their responsibility is the kids.
Absolutely.
All right. So you were saying before, like, these tests are, it's pretty much like an Algebra 1 test and a geometry test, mm-hmm. An English 1, an English 2.
Yes.
So is that core curriculum for these tests, is that taught throughout the year, or is there time specifically set aside, like, hey, this is going to be on the test, this is what we're going to teach you?
When I was teaching English, only English, I creatively tried to put everything in my lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my lesson might be, like, this really awesome project and stuff that we're doing, or we might do, like, poetry with rap music, but the bell work and the independent practice are going to be things modeled after the test.
Right.
Okay. Right. So you're trying to do it without like disrupting the continuity of your lesson.
Right.
Okay. Do you find that other people are having difficulty doing that?
I don't think so. I think sometimes there's just not enough time to cover everything that needs to be covered. And then when all these days are taken out of your school year, it's even more challenging, especially when you have issues with attendance and things like that.
Gotcha.
Has there been a downswing in attendance across the board lately? Or
as a result of testing, no. Not that I've observed. But just in general, I think attendance is down in schools from what I've observed. I think a lot of it has to do with technology.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have in a class now, like, at a time?
Well, I work with at-risk kids.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have very many at all.
Yeah, I was going to say you tend to have smaller.
But when I did English last year, like a typical co-taught class with special ed and gen ed,
mm-hmm.
you're talking like 25 to 27 kids.
Okay, so that hasn't really changed in the last 10, 15 years then. It's like generally 25, 30 kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I've heard like stories of like teachers teaching 35 kids at a time. I'm like, how is that even possible?
It happens. I've heard there was a guy from, I won't say the school district because I don't want to badmouth other school districts. But he was in my master's program, and he had 60 Algebra 1 students in one room. He didn't have enough chairs for them.
Wow.
They couldn't all even see the board. Like, how do you do that?
Wow.
But that's something that strong teachers unions can fight to keep numbers under 30 usually.
So that's a thing that they, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like set a bullet on, like a level on, a ceiling. Like, hey, we don't want any more than this. Like, it can't be done or whatever.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. I was just curious, but I'm curious. Because I mean, if you're trying to teach 60 kids how to pass this one like specific subject of this test they have to take to graduate, there's no way that's a successful system. There's right. no way.
And the kids are just going to be off task, and there's going to be some behaviors and some distractions, and I
you
think
can't keep two eyes on 60 kids.
It would be impossible.
Yeah, fuck that.
Well, the whole no child left behind, well, if you have bigger class sizes, more children are going to be left behind.
Absolutely.
It's just how the numbers work. It doesn't make sense, but you'll save money. Congratulations.
Yeah, which is so. The end. I mean, that's, I mean, we talked about like, whenever we were talking about last week, world famous, just the bottom line, I forget what was brought up in the episode, but bottom line on anything is fucking money. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, but when it comes to schools or teaching kids, you know, pay the teachers so they can do their job correctly.
Right.
You know, don't make teachers pay for their own materials, which I know people that have to do that. I'm like,
right.
How is like, what's the fucking point in working?
Right.
It's like paying to play. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. You're absolutely right. And it's strange. A lot of people will talk, you know, oh, teachers don't get paid enough. They should be paid more for everything they have to put up with. But then the minute, you know, a union goes in for like a 2% raise, oh, they don't even work over the summer. They don't do anything. Why are we... You know,
no, they get other jobs over the summer.
Many do.
Some of them become stand-up comedians.
Some of them do for free.
PaylessBlanc.com. Well, that'll be changing for you soon, Liz. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It was good. Good conversation.
This is wonderful.
I hope you had fun.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's plug time. Shout out to Pete Milk at Milky Way Recordings. It's homie for homies here. And we do this each and every week here. He does other audio work as well. Get at him. especially if you need audio wizardry done. Also, shout out to our graphic designer who did our logo, Sam Holmes. You can find her on the Instagram, Sam Holmes that you live in, not Holmes that you hang with.
And shout out to Sickening Pictures and Turnstile Films, both, you know, former guests of the show. They got their movie fully funded.
They did.
Fully crowdfunded. Powerbomb is getting made.
Nice. Powerbomb is getting made. It's, well, it was getting made anyway.
Right, but, now, but they, you know, they're going to be able to, it's going to be great.
Yeah. It's that was done. Thanks everybody that contributed. I guess now is the time to bring this up. You may have noticed over the past week on social media that there was a Patreon page being shared amongst your friends for me. Patreon is basically a GoFundMe for artists. That's the way I look at it. Except instead of, you know, a mass amount of money that goes towards a particular thing, this is a subscription service. What you get for subscribing to my Patreon is I am no longer publishing my blogs for free anymore. So if you want to read anything that I am writing, which, you know, will be comedy-centric, I admit, but that's just because that's what gets the most feedback. There will be other things I write about as well. But in addition to that, I have years and years and years of audio from my many appearances on WCSB, and I will be editing the best parts of those and releasing them to Patreon subscribers. I can't sell the audio because, you know, I don't have the rights to all of it, but it is already out there and available to be consumed. I'm just going to take, you know,
best of.
Yeah. It's a best of, basically. So that'll be available. But for more information on that, just search me on Patreon. It's Jeremy Shear. We're trying to get, basically just trying to get the podcast completely patron funded, so that we can continue doing the podcast, despite the fact that, I am a crazy person and can no longer fund it with the day job that I don't have. So
we're not going anywhere no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, it's going to continue either way, but I didn't even know that people were sharing the Patreon page. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Because now I feel like an asshole that I didn't even know that it was out, and we fucking do this together every week, and it's like, oh, Jordan didn't share it. You don't give a
Jordan,
fuck.
Jordan, this is coming out next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So this is like, this is future Jeremy.
Then now this is idiot Jordan.
Yeah.
So, which we have that every week anyway, yeah. So we're good.
We're idiots, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, we did not plan that out at all. Yeah.
We're idiots. Please give us money so that we can continue to bring this to you each and every week.
Our caveman sensibilities.
Yeah, that's that. Also our sponsors, Rain Clothing and Aqueduct Brewing. So there's that. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates standardized testing as much as Liz Blanc.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.